patience. Luke chapter 5, great passage on faith here this morning. This is where the Lord was calling Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John to be his disciples. And it's beautiful because before they even officially surrendered to be his disciples, Jesus taught Peter a lesson about faith, because he had a lot to learn and a lot to prepare for, of course. He became the primary apostle there in the early days of the church there in the book of Acts. But right at the beginning, Jesus is teaching them. And we can learn so much from this passage here in Luke chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So I've entitled it, Washing Their Nets. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would now use your word to build our faith. Lord, to teach us, to grow us. Lord, we want to please you with our lives. And we pray that the Holy Spirit now would use the word of God, and we would open our hearts to hear and allow you to change us, that we would leave and say, truly, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would guide every aspect of the rest of this service, Lord, and that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and magnified. And we ask that you be pleased. We give it to you, and we love you and pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's always some that will hear the word, praise God, and Jesus here is beginning his ministry of preaching and teaching God's word. And he already knew in advance that he wanted it, Peter and Andrew and James and John, to be four of his 12 disciples. And he used this opportunity to borrow Peter's ship to launch out so that he could be able to speak to the crowd, because there were just too many people. And so he got out into the water, where it became like the speaking platform from the ship. But when he came and found them washing their nets. And as we see later on, they'd been fishing all night. And these guys were professional fishermen. The four of them were in partnership together. This is what they did for, this is how they survived, was by selling fish. And yet they fished all night and caught nothing. And we find them here washing their nets. And of course, it's important to wash your nets, but you're not going to catch many fish washing your nets. They need to be in the water. And I believe there's a lot of Christians today, they're washing their nets. You know, they're taking in the word, they go to church, they listen, but they never go fishing. They never go out and tell people about Jesus. And he told these disciples at the end, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Not just fishers of fish, but fishers of men. But I believe that many Christians need to stop washing their nets and start casting their nets. Amen. But that's not the point of this message, as you'll see. It says in verse 3, he asked for their help. He cast out into the ship. And isn't it fascinating how the Lord chooses to use us? You know, when you think about it, go to John chapter 20, verse 21. But Jesus chooses to use sinful man in his ministry. He chooses to use us to get the gospel to the lost. He could have written it in the sky. He could have used angels. But instead, he said, I want you to take the gospel into all the world. I want you to tell others about me. And he chooses to use us. And even here, he didn't have to use Peter's ship. but he often enlists our help in the ministry. And it's not that he needs us, but he wants us to serve him. Notice John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." God sent me into the world to tell the world about myself and to die for man's sin. Now I want to send you into the world to tell the world about me. So God chooses to use us, and here he's about to choose these four men to minister with him for the 3.5 years, and then, of course, go on to do great things for him. And we read about those in the book of Acts. And so he preached to the people, and it was a great event. But really, the point of all this was about these four men, and about them learning some things, and about them having their hearts prepared to become apostles. And so after he preached, there in verse 3, he stopped and he's finished and he turns to Simon Peter. And isn't it amazing how many times of the 12 disciples, it was Peter that he always chose, I want to teach a lesson to you, Peter. Now, the other guys often learn, but it was always Peter and Peter, Peter. And so he turns to Peter of all the four men. He says, "Peter, I want you now to not go to shore, but I want you to take your ship and launch out into the deep. And I want you to let down your nets for a drought." Now, this word drought here is an older usage of the word, and it basically meant a big haul. If you'll go back out into the deep and launch out your nets, you will bring in an amazing amount of fish. That's what I'm telling you as the Lord. And so Peter had to be willing to, first of all, obey. Amen. And to believe that God would keep this promise, which is what faith is all about, isn't it? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we're told in Hebrews 11:1. But first we got to obey. And we read the story, and if you're not careful, you'll read through the story and think that Peter obeyed. But actually he didn't. And I'll show you why. So before all of this carries on, Simon stops and says, "Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing." Now, this is kind of the breaking point. And it is for you and me as well. How many times do we pray to God for something, but really deep in our hearts we know it's just too big, it's too impossible, it really can't happen. Based on all that I've seen, based on all that I've experienced, I know that it really isn't going to happen. But I'm going to pray for it anyway. And here we have Peter saying, "Lord, you got to understand, I'm a professional fisherman. This is how I make my living. Me and these other three men, we know how to fish. And we've been just out there all night long and caught nothing. And now you're telling us to go right back out to that same spot and cast our nets again? You got to understand, we know what we're doing." So he wasn't taking into account God. Amen? And how many times do we come to God and in our hearts we already know, "Lord, I know this is impossible. And yeah, I'm going to pray for it, but really, I don't really think it's going to happen." And do you know nothing limits God more than that? Then lack of faith, and go to Hebrews 11:6, and I'll show you this. Most of you know this verse. How many times do we read in the Bible, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for me." Jeremiah 32:27, Genesis 18:14. "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" We could go on and on. How many times have we told in the Bible God can do anything because he's the creator of the universe? Amen? And then we get to the New Testament. Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. You shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." What's it say here in Hebrews 11:6? "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." You see that word impossible? There are some things that are impossible. And one of the things that's impossible is it's impossible to please God without faith. He's not speaking to the lost, by the way. He's speaking to us. You cannot please God if you don't believe Him. Because really, it's almost a form of blasphemy if you think about it. To not believe that God can do anything is really to not believe in the true nature of God that is revealed to us through His Word. Because we serve a God that can do anything and made the entire universe in 6 days. And here's really the clincher of the whole story, Luke 5:5. Nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will let down the net. This is a subtlety that you can miss if you're not careful. Jesus said, I want you to let down your nets, plural. You see that? Peter said, I will let down one net. And yes, you can look at the Greek if you want to, but that's the way it works. Peter let down one net, which, as we're going to see, because he only used one net, it couldn't handle all the fishes and it began to rip and tear and fall apart. But Jesus didn't say one net, did he? He said nets. I want you to let them all down, Peter, because this is big. This is me. And if I tell the fish to come to your nets, there's going to be a lot of fish. And I want you to take every net you've got and I want you to let them all down. Peter said, Lord, we're professional fishermen. We know what we're doing, but because you are who you are and you're telling me to do this, I'll at least throw out one net. How many times do we treat God like this? There was a lady in the Old Testament. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 4, very similar story. Most of you know it. She was a widow. There was a famine. And the prophet Elisha came to stay with her. And she was basically she was collecting sticks to make one last cake, and she and her son were going to die of starvation. You know the story. And Elisha, verse 3 of 2 Kings 4, he says, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, and even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Now, how would you translate that? I'd say borrow as many as you can. Amen? In modern day. Go borrow every pot you can get your hands on. Verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Praise the Lord. What a miracle. But the oil stayed when the vessels were all full. What if they brought in twice as many vessels or three times as many vessels? They all would have been filled. And Peter said, Lord, I'm going to let down a net because I really don't believe this is going to happen. Now, admittedly, he's not an apostle yet. Things are just getting started. But Jesus is trying to teach him a lesson here. Now, the theme at the ladies' retreat this week is, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. I believe we should pray big. And I believe God tells us to pray big. And believe big. Amen? Let's stop praying like a little bird like this. And let's start praying with our mouths wide. And believing that we serve a miracle-working God that can do anything. And if it's according to His will, He will do great things in our lives. But He wants us to ask. And Peter said, Lord, I'm going to let down one net. In verse 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net, singular, brake. That wouldn't have happened if they would have put all the nets out. And we know they have multiple ones because they were washing their nets, plural. So, no, Peter did not fully obey the Lord. He partially obeyed. And what do we tell our children when we're raising them? Partial obedience is disobedience. Amen? He didn't have the faith to believe that if he would have cast out all the nets, God would have filled every single one of them. And he would have. It says in verse 7, they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, and so they began to sink. Isn't that something? And Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So now we know that Peter's heart wasn't right in this situation. "Lord, I truly didn't believe. And I'm a sinner." And how many times do we really not believe that God's going to answer? We have our prayer list, but do we open our mouths wide? Because I believe God is honored when we pray big. Amen? What we're saying is, "Lord, I believe you can do anything, and I'm going to pray for big things." That brings God glory and honor. But when we, like Peter, say, "Well, Lord, I'm going to pray for this, but I don't really believe it's going to happen. Or I'm going to pray little." This is what Peter said. "I'm a sinful man. Depart from me." Peter didn't know he was about to be called to be one of the apostles, did he? All he knew at this point was he gets to meet the Messiah, and he just worked a miracle for him. After preaching to the people, he just gave him all these fishes to show that he was in control of everything. Even he can even tell the fish to go hop into the net, which was an amazing thing. These guys are fishermen. And they just saw this amazing power from Jesus, just the spoken word. And then verse 9 really clinches it. He says he was astonished. You know, when God does answer our big prayers, this is typically our response, isn't it? "Wow, God actually answered a prayer." I mean, we've been praying and expecting God to answer a prayer, but have we really been expecting God to answer? Because when he does answer, typically we're shocked. We're astonished. Go to Acts chapter 12 and I'll show you an example. My favorite example in the whole Bible is Acts chapter 12 when it comes to this being surprised when God answers prayer. Most of you know this story. Again, Peter was involved, but it wasn't Peter this time that needed to learn. So after preaching, Peter ended up in prison again. And the Bible says, verse 5, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church." So here we have the entire church there in Jerusalem gathered together praying for Peter. "Lord, please release Peter from prison. We need Peter. He's our leader, Peter, the apostle. We need him. Lord, please release him." And Matt, you can just picture all these people on their knees praying to God, "Release Peter from prison." And that would have been a miracle. Guess what? God worked a miracle. And he broke open the prison doors. And Peter thought he was having a dream. It was just the prison doors just opened. He just walked out. When he got to the outside of the prison, he's thinking, "Well, that was a pretty good dream." You know, we've all been there. But then he realized, "Wait a minute, I'm not dreaming. This is really happening. I just walked right out of the prison." So what does he do? Is he goes to the house, or the wherever it is, the building, where all these people are on their knees praying for him. And he knocks on the door. Pretty simple story, right? So, verse 12, "When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate." So they're literally praying for Peter to be released from prison. And he comes and knocks on the door, and Rhoda answers the door and says, "Wow, it's Peter." And she runs back and says, "Guess what? Peter's at the door." Verse 15. They said unto her, "Thou art mad." How's that for a response to an answered prayer? "You're crazy, Rhoda. Leave us alone. We're praying for Peter. Quit telling us crazy stories that God released him from prison in answer to our prayers. We're going to pray for Peter to be released from prison. You're mad." And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then they said, "Ah, it's his angel. It can't really be Peter. It's not, either you're mad or it's his angel." Anyway, you know the rest of the story. Finally, they went and let him in. Said, "Oh, wow, God answered our prayer. Imagine that." How many times are we like that? We pray and we pray and we pray for something, and then God answers it, and it's like, "Wow, God answered my prayer. But wait a minute, didn't he promise that he would? All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive," Matthew 21:22. He tells us to pray. He tells us to pray big. Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 14:14. We could go on and on. This is the confidence that we have in him, and that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 John 5:14. We could go on the rest of the morning, couldn't we? Just talking about all the amazing prayer promises in God's word. "Ask and ye shall receive. Pray and I will answer. O thou that hearest prayer," the Bible calls God. And yet he answers and we go, "Wow, God answered my prayer. Amazing." No, we should expect it. Peter fell on his knees and said, "I'm a sinful man, depart from me," because he didn't believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And it wasn't just Peter that learned, verse 10. "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon." Jesus said, "Fear not." I like it that Peter didn't have to be rebuked this time, because he's just getting started. He's taking some baby steps. You know, later on he's going to have to be rebuked a couple times by the Lord, isn't he? But things are just getting started for him. Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, you should have believed." Peter already understands that. That's why he fell down and repented. So he just says, "Peter, fear not. Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men." So God wanted Peter to learn early on, you can do anything. Don't be afraid to trust God for anything. It says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Isn't that good? By the way, that's what he wants from all of us. In Luke 9:23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." He wants us all to forsake all and follow him. And he wants us all to believe him, to believe that he is a God of miracles, that he is the all-powerful God, that he can do anything, and to believe it. Because faith, just like love, and you know I've worn that one out, faith is action too, isn't it? When he threw that net out, that was an act of faith, was it not? When you go to Hebrews 11 and we'll see, faith is action. It's not just saying, "I believe." It's doing things to show that you believe. Just like love. Love isn't saying, "I love you." Love is treating people with respect and kindness. Love is doing things. God so loved the world that he gave. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Hebrews 11, just to show you a couple examples. The Bible says, verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark." So God is saying, here's an example. How about Noah? We all know the story of Noah. By faith, he what? He did something. He built an ark. And if you move on, then he goes to talk about Abraham. He says there in verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed." Abraham had enough faith to say, "Well, if God says I got to move, I got to move." And that's what he did. He uprooted his family and they moved. He obeyed by faith. He did something. On down, where are we here? Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up. Every one of these is an action verb, isn't it? He obeyed. He offered. That was an act of faith, was it not? When Abraham went up on the Mount Moriah and said, here's my son, and took the knife to slay his son. And we could go all through the chapter, Hebrews 11. They're all action verbs. By faith, they did something. Peter, he did something, but he didn't do what he was told to do, did he? He was told to cast out nets, and he cast out one net. We need to stop washing our nets and start casting them. Amen? And not just one, all of them. Believe big things, because we serve a big God. And it brings Him honor when we trust Him for big things. It's okay to pray for daily bread. It's okay to pray for one another, and we should every day pray for our leaders, and we could go on and on. But put a couple big things on your prayer list, amen? Big. I mean, really, just impossible stuff. Stuff that you just know, if it happens, there's no question God did it, because it's big. It's impossible. You think that angers God? No, that pleases God. Because what we're saying is, God, I really believe that you're big and that you could do anything. You told me you could, and you told me to ask for anything, so that's exactly what I'm going to do. And you know what's going to happen when He answers? Hopefully you're not going to be astonished, like Peter. Hopefully you're not going to be shocked and say, like they did to Rhoda, you're mad. That's not Peter, that's His angel. There's no way God answered our prayer. Now leave us alone, we're going to go pray. No, hopefully your response will be, thank you, Lord. And then go on to pray something else big. Amen? That honors God. You know, we trusted Him for our soul to take us to heaven. We trusted Him to rescue us from hell. Why can't we trust Him to answer big prayers? Because that was a pretty big prayer when we asked Him to save us, wasn't it? But that's just what, the way we are. We're weak, and this is one of the areas in which we're weak. Do you know how many times in the New Testament Jesus commended the disciples for their amazing faith? Can you count to zero? Zero times Jesus commended the disciples for their faith. Matter of fact, there's only three people in the entire New Testament that Jesus mentioned their faith in a positive light, and it was never the disciples. He actually rebuked them one of the times for their little faith. Once was a widow with a little coin in her napkin. He commended her for her faith. Once was a Roman soldier who came to Jesus and said, I've got a servant homesick, but don't come to my house. Just speak the word. And Jesus commended him for his faith, but never the disciples. After 3.5 years of watching Jesus work miracles, calm the storm, heal the lepers, raise the dead, not once did Jesus say, good job, guys. You showed some faith there. Not once. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Even though He started these four off, and these were part of His inner core, were they not? Peter, James, and John? He started them off trying to teach them, guys, I can do anything. Just trust me. Just believe me. And if I say nets, I mean nets. I don't mean net. Cast them all out, and I'll fill them all. But they obviously didn't completely get it, did they? So what does God want from us? Stop washing them and start casting them. Amen? Believe God for great things, because we serve a great God. And we, like the disciples, need to forsake all and just follow Christ. And watch Him use us for His glory. Because that's exactly what He wants us to do. So let's cast out all the nets. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this.